Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, we're running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, and this is a very special episode in some ways. Not really, it's just a wrap-up of Season 4, which we just finished with Redemption Part 1. So, we're through four seasons, we're more than halfway done here. We've only got 5, 6, and 7 left years of the show, so we got 3 years left, we finish up 4. And it feels like the show is definitely changing. I think one of the guests on the show, Modi Uparanda, said it best when he called Season 4 a new sophomore slump. He said something along those lines. The first two seasons of the show were really not very good whatsoever. We made it through those. And Year 3 was really a big jump in terms of quality. Year 3 might be one of the best years of the show when all is said and done. It had a lot of great episodes. It had really good episodes. Had some really fantastic ones. Had a lot of bad ones, too, as a sort of holdover from the first two seasons where things were not going very well. Season 3 was really, really peaky. Had really high highs and really low lows. Not a terribly huge amount of middle ground in terms of quality. Season 4 is different, and it's difficult to sort of describe. I would say it's generally a pretty good season that sort of sits in the middle in terms of quality. It doesn't have the peaks or the highs or the lows that Season 3 had. Modi called it a sophomore slump just because he considered the third season, you could say that it's a sort of the first real season of the show. It was fantastic, and they came out with their second year in Year 4 of that kind of show, and it just hasn't lived up to the Season 3 sort of heights that Season 3 reached. I think I kind of agree with that. Season 4 is very down the middle. A lot of sort of middling episodes in this one. There's a lot of episodes that you look at the list and you're just like, I really don't want to watch those. Things like Suddenly Human, Remember Me, Legacy, those all come right in a row. This is all very early. What's after that? Identity Crisis. It's just episodes that you don't really ever want to watch when you're skimming through. And I feel like that's Season 4 in a nutshell. Season 4 could basically be described as the season where they decided that everybody on the show had a family that they wanted to have an episode dedicated to. There's a lot of character building in this, a lot of family building, a lot of even, you could say that the ship itself is a family, where we start to flesh out people like Miles O'Brien. He gets a full name. We discover that he's going to get married and eventually does get married to Keiko O'Brien. You meet Worf and Picard's extended families in family. Noonien Soong is in this one, the creator of Data, O'Brien and Keiko, as I mentioned. Yar has her sister. Worf has a son. Jack Crusher makes an appearance. There's a lot of family focus on this one, and it's almost at the expense of the characters in a weird way. The family stuff is designed to sort of flesh out the characters, but in some ways it's a little bit distracting. And in some ways the new sort of format of the show, where the story A has to be character-based, sometimes led to weird episodes like The Loss, and there's a couple others I can think of, where the character's episode is not particularly good, or the character's storyline, and the B sci-fi plot that they felt they had to attach to the show to keep it grounded in sort of a Star Trek sort of format was actually better than the A story. And that happened a couple times. It's the first time I can really think of that happening in the series, which is an interesting change. You know, late in the season, we start actually getting into the politics of the Alpha Quadrant, which is going to be continued in Redemption 2, which is the first episode of the fifth season. So they started to move towards more of a galaxy-building thing and away from the family, but it feels very... And some of the better episodes, I think, in the season are in the second half. It's sort of back-heavy. The front half, I think, is fairly forgettable in terms of everything, except for maybe family. The politics of the Alpha Quadrant are going to get discussed in some good episodes as Mind's Eye and things like that. Redemption brings it all home. We meet Sela in the very finale of Redemption. All in all, it's not a particularly great season. I rated it a little bit worse than Season 3. It's like a 3.8 compared to a 3.15, which doesn't sound like much, but when you're only doing the ratings as simplistically as I am on a 1 to 5 scale, it actually amounts to a pretty good change in a couple episodes. This one would be like the year of the 3 and the 4. It just kind of fell into that kind of a season. Not particularly great episodes, a sort of unique feel. Things are very sort of slow in this episode. This is sort of the show had found what it wanted to do and was trying to explore what the best way to do it was. And it feels a little bit more exploratory than season 3 does. Season 3 was more about episodes that had really big ideas and really sort of new ways to look at the show. And this new season is much more of a slow down, catch your breath, and we're sort of going to flesh out what we've already got. For better or for worse, that's what it is. Season 4 is not a terrible season of the show, but it is not one of my favorites, I don't think, when this is all going to be said and done. That said, I'm going to break down now a couple of the... I usually do a character breakdown, like who won the season, who lost it. So I think that for the worst season, based on who... I went through the list and I assigned all the episodes to a character if I could determine that episode to be that character's episode. Liz and like Crusher had Remember Me. That's a Crusher episode. She had the host. That was for her. Troy the Lost, et cetera, et cetera. Geordi actually comes out as the worst character this season, mostly because he has Galaxy's Child, which is horrific, and the one where he sort of tricks that woman into thinking that it's okay that he's been cyber-stalking her. Identity Crisis was the first Brandon Braga script that just didn't work, and then he has Mind's Eye, which is his other one. It's not a good enough to save him, even though Mind's Eye is a good episode. I think Geordi came out to the worst rating out of all of these. When you take into consideration that I think Troy only had The Loss, which is not a great episode, but Geordi had two episodes that weren't very good and a third one that wasn't good enough to save it. So Geordi LaForge is going to win my worst character of season 4. The best character goes to Worf, I think. This is a pretty good Worf season. A lot of him is fleshed out. He has Reunion and Redemption. He has all the R titles. His family stuff is getting fleshed out. You know, I used to not really care about the Klingon stuff. And I still, on this rewatch, think that they don't really do as much with it as they could. Maybe it's because of the limited time that they have. One episode or two episodes a season doesn't really feel like enough to flesh out the series. But Worf is getting a lot of good work here. He's getting a lot of his characters really developing. I feel all the characters are really settling into their roles. But Worf in particular stands out. And as a close second, I thought Data maybe had a good year. He had Brothers, Data's Day, and In Theory, which is not a Murder's Row of episodes, but it's not terrible either. And they're just sort of, they're memorable without being sort of overly memorable, if that makes any sense. It was a tough one. This was a tough season to score and a tough season to sort of break down and sort of remember who went where and how it all went. I don't know if it's because it took longer to get this one recorded. I don't think that's true. It's just not it's not something that really sticks in your mind. Not a lot of memorable stuff happens here. So let's go through. Before we get to the 5 best and the 5 worst episodes of the season, let's go through a couple awards that I feel are appropriate to give out. I always give out a couple awards at the end of each season. None of them particularly serious. This is all basically my opinion as to what goes on, as a lot of the podcast is. So let's start off with the worst accent. The worst accent of the year goes to Picard as Dixon Hill in Clues. I don't know why Picard started talking in this, yeah, Gloria, see, that's what we're going to do, see? Hey, Gloria, I ain't talking. He talks in this bizarre accent that is terrible, and it's not, I'm not sure if Picard is supposed to be a bad actor or what, because Patrick Stewart is obviously better than that. I don't know what the decision was to do that. But the Dixon Hill, I assume it's a Chicago accent he's going for, does not really work all that well. And it's the worst accent of season 4. The best second tier classic, which would be a very good episode that probably doesn't spring to mind immediately. That's what I'm thinking in this award, the best second tier classic. I'm going to give it to The Wounded. The Wounded is really more remarkable than anything for basically how well they got the Klingons, the Cardassians, right from the start. Marco Lemo really nailed his performance as the Gull in that episode. And I think that his performance and the writing to a lesser extent really informed how the Cardassians were going to be played in the future. It's a good introduction for their species. They're portrayed, you know, pretty accurately or true to form right from the start. The storyline is not bad. We get Miles O'Brien fleshed out. We meet a renegade captain who's going haywire in Cardassian space. And then we get a nice little twist at the end where the Cardassians are up to something. Very true to form for them. And Picard gets to give the great TNG, we will be watching you speech. So that's it. The best second tier classic. You're not going to say this is one of the best episodes the show ever did, but it's certainly in like the 1B grouping of those kind of episodes. The best guest actor. It goes to David Ogden Steers and Timison in Half a Life. The show has gotten much better with its guest cast acting. The first couple seasons were really horrific. I don't know why you'd think that the show with the sort of cachet of Star Trek, or, you know, relative cachet, would have guest stars who could pull it off. But they really did not pull it off very well in the first couple seasons. They're getting better at it, and you're starting to get guest actors who are a step up in quality. And Steers' performance as Timison in Half-Life is very nice. He's very reserved, fits the role, doesn't oversell it, really, in that one. He's believable. You sort of feel for the guy. He plays it very, very well in a role that's not particularly easy to do. It's so quiet and reserved. And I think that he is the best spot that we had this year. Most satisfying detective work, I'm going to give it to Data in Mind's Eye, even though I complained with Modi that it takes Data a long time to put together the fact that Geordi is the brainwashed assassin in that episode. I do think that Data's scene there is pretty good. I like Data using the computer to figure things out. It's very satisfying. They work well together, obviously. They are of a like mind. And I thought that that sequence was pretty good. The show doesn't usually do thriller or suspense type stuff, and that one was done pretty well. That whole episode, and especially that ending with Data putting it all together. I thought it was well made. It was unique. It was, me and Modi both noticed the direction was sort of interesting in there, and I think that helps and has a hand in everything. So that's it. Most satisfying detective work goes to Data in Mind's Eye. The worst subplot. Worst subplot. The continuing storyline of Geordi as a hapless virgin is terrible. It's awkward. It makes some of the episodes, when you're looking back on them, so bizarre. It's weird because the writers seem to think that Geordi is forgivable, or at least misunderstood to some extent, when his actions are really kind of absurd and a little bit unstable in how he's choosing to go about this. And they continue to use this storyline, and I don't think it's the best way to serve the character of Geordi or LeVar Burton, because Burton is not an actor that can pull off this kind of weaker material that the show is really not comfortable doing, even though they're interested in it. Maybe that's some kind of writer's thing that's going on. But I don't think they pull it off very effectively. It's a stupid subplot for Geordi, who they're going to play as sort of the nerdy virgin character, it seems. And instead of making Geordi more effective when he's just sort of the problem solver, the engineer, the guy who can get things done when things need to be done and sort of plays as a foil to Data, instead, you put him into this role, which does not really suit anybody. No one's interested in seeing this. It doesn't do Burton any favors. The material's not good enough for that. Just very weak. And so that's it. The worst subplot, Geordi is a virgin. The best actor. Best actor. This could probably be tied into best director, too. I think it's Brothers. Rob Bowman directed it. Brent Spiner is the star of the three roles of Noonien Soong, Data, and Lore in Brothers. He plays all three parts. It's a well-directed episode as well. You don't really see the seams. I mean, you know, you're clearly aware that Data is being played, or Data, Lore, and Soon are being played by the same actor. But it is, it's well hidden. Everything lines up pretty nicely. You only notice a couple times when the scenes seem awkward, but it's really excellent. Spiner plays all three of them very, very differently from each other. He's under about 1,000 pounds of old age makeup for Soon, but he plays Data and Lore very, very differently from each other. It's not a great episode in terms of overall sort of, you know, canon of the series or anything, but I think it's a showpiece for Spiner, for better or for worse, of the episode, and but that's enough to win this award. So Spiner gets the best actor for Brothers. Most memorable B-plot. I mentioned before the aliens in Lost, the Lost, which is the two-dimensional aliens. They're pretty memorable, but I think I'm going to give it to the space ravioli in Galaxy's Child. It's a terrible episode, mostly because of the Geordi stuff, but the alien in Galaxy's Child is pretty unique. I don't think we've seen anything. Maybe Tin Man is somewhat reminiscent, but Tin Man is even different. These things are more animal-like than Tin Man, which is basically a pine cone with a brain that could talk to people telepathically. The space raviolis are interesting. I don't think we've seen a sort of, in Next Gen anyway, a sort of space-born creature. Oh, maybe the crystalline entity, but that's different. It's more threatening. And the space raviolis are memorable. They're a little bit goofy, but it leads to a great scenes with Picard getting very upset about killing one of them. They shoot green lasers, which is always exciting, and you know, they're pretty memorable. I think everyone remembers that subplot, so they're going to get the most memorable B plot. And the worst B plot, we'll finish this up with the worst B plot of the season. A lot of B plots. This is a season where I noticed them a lot. The In Theory episode has Picard shuttling the, or how do we say shuttling, driving the shuttlecraft for no particular reason. It is clearly the worst B-plot. That whole dark matter thing in an episode that should have been based around Data or focused around Data and his relationship instead has to saddle that storyline, even if it's not the best storyline, with this absurd sort of dark matter. There's holes in space. We can't see them and people fall through them. So Picard is going to have to go fly the shuttle ahead of the ship and guide them out of there because the shuttle's more maneuverable. Picard volunteers to do this for no particular reason whatsoever, just because the show needs some kind of drama in this storyline that is really absent any kind of drama. So he's out there piloting. He puts his life in risk for no reason. They get out of there, and then we resume the Data subplot. That was the more interesting, if slightly more flawed, storyline in that episode. So that's it. The worst B-plot goes to the In Theory. It was these episodes that always come at the end of the season. You always should expect a little bit of weak links, I think. They are being saved there for a reason and released just before the end for a reason, as I say. All right. Thank you guys for listening. That's it for my season 4 wrap. Oh, wait a minute. We're going to give the best and the worst, huh? I do videos for these too, but I was wondering if I should stop doing these in the podcast, but I might as well. People come for different reasons. People find videos for different reasons. So let's go through the 5 worst episodes. Number 5, Galaxy's Child. It's terrible. We went over all these reasons. The Geordi as a creep just does not work. Number 4, Final Mission. Wesley Crusher's final episode is not very good. It's got Wesley at his worst. And it's kind of amazing to the Wesley Crusher character's lack of importance that after he leaves, you never bring up the fact of where is he and what is he doing. It's totally dropped. You don't miss him. The show doesn't miss him. There's no plots that are like, where's Wesley? It's really shocking. He probably should have been cut much earlier if involved at all. There's really no reason for that character in the show all the way from the first season, except for maybe the first 10 episodes where they were trying to shove him into things. Doesn't work. Not very good. Number 3, Identity Crisis. It's the Geordi turns into an alien episode. It's really not good. It's the first Brandon Braga script, and it fits his sort of script personality where it's very high concept. The characters don't really make sense or feel realistic or tied to the usual universe in this one. It's really all about the aliens turning into, or the crew turning into aliens, and it's not very good, even though it does have a great holodeck solving a mystery scene where Geordi sees a shadow in a recreation of a video that they took 20 years ago or whatever the hell it was. That's really good. I wish that they did more with the holodeck like that. They do not do much with it, and it is a shame because it's a really cool use of the technology. And the worst episode of season 4, Cupid. It's Robin Hood with Star Trek with Q. It's a disservice to the Q character, turning him back into a trickster god. That's never as interesting as the ethical quandary episodes that Q has, which are way, way better. Brings back the return of Vash, which no one was really asking for. Picard is played as sort of an idiot in that one, and we get a couple goofy lines like, I am not a merry man from Worf, and him smashing the mandolin. And otherwise, it's an abject failure. It's an episode that I would never want to watch again. It feels so pointless, silly, and just not enjoyable enough of a diversion to distract you from, you know, the rest of the episodes that are going on. It's not like Robin Hood is calling out for people to watch it. So that's it. From 5 to 1, Galaxy's Child, Final Mission, Identity Crisis, The Loss, and Cupid. Those are the 5 worst episodes of season 4. Let's get to the best. 5 best episodes from season 4. Number 5, The Mind's Eye. It's the Geordi Gets Brainwashed episode. It's really good. I like that one. It's a surprising good. It comes late in the season, but it's got a great dose of Alpha Quadrant politics, Geordi vision, which is always nice, Worf trying to stop Geordi from killing people, and the Data detective work, which we mentioned before. Number 4, The Best of Both Worlds Part 2. It's not as good as the first part, clearly. The first part had to just build and build and get to the climax, and because of that, it doesn't really have to pay off all of the expectations that it put in. Best of Both Worlds has to, and the first half of Best of Both Worlds 2 is really excellent. The crew dealing with Picard's loss, Guinan and Riker, Riker having to deal with becoming a captain, being in charge, and deciding what to do. The Battle of Wolf 359 is resolved. The Borg make it to Earth. It kind of falls apart after that, after they rescue Picard and they use him to implant the sleep command into the Borg. It's not really... there's no better way to sort of get around it, but it just doesn't feel as satisfying. It's not bad by any means. It's a great episode. It's one of the five best of the season, obviously, but it's just not as good as the first part. And even though that's no sin, it's enough to drop it down to the fourth best episode of season four. The third best, it is The Wounded. Talked about that before, introducing the Cardassians, all that stuff, rogue captain, wars, people fighting, Cardassian facial hair, Markle Amo, Picard chastising people at the very end. It's got everything you'd want out of a second tier classic. I think it's really good. It's a really great episode. Number two, Family. Family is a contender if you think a certain way for the best episode of this show. It's nothing like any of the other episodes, which is interesting. It has all of the family member introductions, Worf's family. We meet Jack Crusher as a hologram, Picard's family. It deals with, it's basically the unofficial third part of the Best of Both Worlds trilogy. It deals with the repercussions of what happened in those two episodes. And as that, and as what it became, and what it did for the show, I think it's very important. It's a good episode. It's not a great episode to show to someone if they want to ask about what Star Trek is about. It requires knowing the show, knowing what's happened before that, and being liking the show enough to be patient with what's kind of a slower episode that really doesn't drive you anywhere. It's a lot of meeting family, a lot of characters getting fleshed out. It's just kind of a sweet tone, a sweet little show that, you know, makes you feel for the Picard character, makes you appreciate Worf's parents and all that stuff in between. Number one, best episode of season four, dun-dun-dun-dun, The Drumhead. The Drumhead is sort of indicative of season four quality, if I consider this to be the best of season four. It's not a super memorable episode that you'd be like, oh yeah, Drumhead. That said, it's really strong, if not outstanding. It has a sort of tone that is very aware that it's preaching a sort of ethically correct decision. The bad guys in it don't really have a leg to stand on. There's not much nuance. It's more of a sort of moralizing that TNG can kind of do, but it doesn't come off as preachy. It comes off as sort of timeless because of there's always a situation in history where you're going to go through this kind of drumhead thing of accusing people falsely, getting paranoid, and all that kind of stuff. TNG takes a very TNG approach to it. Picard gets to deliver a lot of monologues, and the villains are not as fleshed out or nuanced as you'd think or hope that they could be. But that said, it's a great little Manchurian candidate. It's not the Manchurian, that's the Mind's Eye. It's a great little sort of, not conspiracy, but a great little legal drama almost in and of itself. It's really satisfying to watch. It feels of the era of TNG, and I think more than any of the other episodes this season, it's the one that I remember the most and I think most highly of. So therefore, it is my best episode of season four. So from 5-1, The Mind's Eye, Best of Both Worlds Part 2, The Wounded, Family, and The Drumhead. All right, thanks guys for listening. We're moving on to season five with Redemption 2. Clay's coming back to talk about that one. I just wanted to take a moment to thank everybody for listening. I appreciate it. We're getting a lot of great comments, a lot of great feedback. It's been very kind. A lot of great people leaving comments and everything like that. Makes it all worth it. It's a lot of fun going through this. I enjoy everyone who comes on. I want to thank all of our guests, Clay, Modi, Sean, Tana, my wife, Amy, everyone else who's been on, and everyone I'm forgetting. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. And thanks for putting up with me and my weird ratings and everything. Hope you guys enjoyed season four. And season five is a definite improvement, in my early opinion, by looking at the title. So I'm excited for it. I'm going to be, you know, rounding out these final three seasons, and it's as the end nears, it gets a little bit crazy to go through all of these episodes and think about all of these things. It's been a fun ride. Thank you guys again. Thank you very much for listening. I'll see you next time.